Romans chapter 14. Accept other believers who are weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? They are responsible to the Lord, so let him judge whether they are right or wrong. And with the Lord's help, they will do what is right and will receive his approval. Just a side note. A lot of people take this scripture and they will only base it on eating and drinking. But if you notice the two words that Paul uses, for instance, that means this is an example of what we are to be acting like. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will confess and give praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your own convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Father, I pray, Lord, as we go into the things of what we believe, that you will be honored and glorified in it. Lord, help us to establish the foundations once again, to look at them and see what it is that we believe and how we serve you. So, Lord, I pray that the cross will go before this message, that I will decrease and you will increase. And Lord, that everything said and done today will be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In this church, we do talk a lot about believing. The title of this message and the question we have to ask ourselves in every situation is, what do we believe? But then after we've asked that question, we have to follow that question up with another one that I have talked about many times. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? Everyone in this place today, in fact, everyone in the world today, have their own opinions on almost everything. Just sit at coffee at the snack shack every morning and you will find that out. I had to stop because, well, we won't get into that. You and I have come into this place with our own opinions. I personally grew up in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. I was ordained in the Assemblies of God in the United States of America. Today I am the lead pastor of Manning Family Worship Center in the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. Each of these places have had slight differences in their opinions and their beliefs. Different denominations have different opinions or beliefs. Different churches have different opinions or beliefs. Now, of course, every church believes, or they should believe, in a lot of the same things. For instance, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Honor your parents. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery, steal, lie, or covet. Also, every church should believe in the salvation work of Jesus Christ. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. These are things that every church should believe in and should preach. But there are differences in other things. For instance, there are differences of opinion on the baptism of the Holy Spirit or on healing or on God's will. God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. It's not really how we do things. I've had people tell me that we can't have communion every Sunday because we'd get it into a religion, we'd get it into tradition. But did you know that the very aspect, the crux of our belief system, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we celebrate it every time we have communion, so why wouldn't we have it every week? But even in that, we could make it into a religion. We actually do have traditions in this church. Did you know that? We sing about 5 songs we did this morning. We have announcements at the beginning of the service. We shake hands after the announcements. Or before the announcements. Before the announcements. Okay, let's do that. Scripture, shake hands, announcements, worship, preaching, coffee, go home. It's our traditions. In fact, if we ever were to mix it up a lot and do it regularly, there would be people that would notice that and might not necessarily complain, but they would express their opinion on how it was wrong. Am I not correct? It's just what we do. We complain about which songs we sing, which scriptures we might be preaching out of. Oh, that was a different one today. Or on what the pastor might say up at the front. We have our opinions. We have the things that we've developed within our own system that we look at other people who have the different system. Well, they must be wrong because our system is right. But really, all it is that we all decided, this is the church I want to go to because it does mostly the same things that I do. But even in that, we have differences of opinion here. And as long as we follow the basics, most definitely, the salvation of Jesus Christ that we receive from the cross, what he has meant for us. And that is what we try to preach here. Every message, I try to point it to the cross somehow. Why? Because the cross paid it all. That's why it says it's paid in full. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Everything that we have in our life, every blessing comes because of that cross. It's not because of following the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are a great guideline. But it's like I read it in Romans chapter 8. Those who are led by the Spirit will never lead you contrary to the law. But if we follow the law and we fail, then we are condemned by the law. But if we follow the Spirit, his forgiveness comes in, his mercy, his grace. It's amazing when you start to look into it and the fullness of it. I was actually told a while back, don't preach on the cross of Christ until you understand what it paid for. And I was like, wait a second, I'm a preacher of a Christian church. Why wouldn't I preach on the cross? And then I started to look into what the cross paid for. And I understood that I have never been preaching the fullness of the cross of Christ. Until recently, you've noticed that I have started preaching a lot more on what the cross paid for. And that's because I've gone into it and I've looked at what he paid for and how much fullness there is in the body of Christ because of that. The point is that there are beliefs that we all have that may be different from others. And Paul recognized this and wrote about it to the church in Rome. Paul is telling us in Romans 14 that everyone is at a different stage of belief in their walk with Christ. And Paul is writing this letter after Peter had his vision in Acts chapter 10. We won't read it today, but it's where Peter was on the rooftop and the vision came about basically a big tablecloth coming down with all the food on it, the unclean. And he said, "I will not eat that because it's unclean." And then the Lord said, "Do not call unclean what I have cleansed." And so that's where we're at right now when Paul is writing this to the Romans. In Rome, it was like it's not like today. You go to the grocery store, you buy your meat, and you stick it in your fridge. In those days, you went to the market every day, picked up your meat fresh, and went and cooked it. And they did not know from time to time which meat was sacrificed to idols or not. So some of the Christians were saying, "I will not eat meat because I don't know that it was sacrificed to the idols." And Paul is saying, if you bless that food, if you are thankful for it, it doesn't even say that you have to pray the prayer of thanks. You know how the pastor comes over and the pastor gives thanks and blesses the food? Well, technically, that's not what it's saying. It says, be thankful for it, and in the Lord, you honor him with your eating, and he will bless that food and make it clean. And so every food is clean if you take it in the right way, is what he's basically telling those Christians in Rome. There are laws in the Bible that are black and white. You either can do them or you can't. However, there are a lot of things in the world today that could be considered gray areas. You look at the Ten Commandments that we read before, and they are black and white. Don't do those things. Because if you do them, you've ruined a relationship somewhere. The first four are based on the relationship between God and yourselves. The last six are based on your relationship with others. So if you break any of those, you've broken a relationship somewhere. And the commandments are black and white. You don't do them if they say don't do them. But then when we see the things that we take and we push on others as to the beliefs that they need to have, things that you need to do, things that you don't do. You know, I don't know if you've recognized this, but probably about 6 years ago, we moved the communion table. I don't know how many of you actually recognize that the communion table used to sit right here, then it used to sit over there, and now it sits at the back. Don't know if you recognize that. There are some people, I don't think there's any here. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe you haven't voiced it to me. But there are some people that would say that I cause sin because I moved that communion table. I used to preach down here. Now I know that there are people that have said that they don't like it when the pastor preaches down here. I like it because it gives me freedom of movement. But then I recognized when we started to fill up that some of you are now going like this, trying to see me. So I've moved. But to some people, being up here is where the pastor should preach, because this is the godly desk. It's, in my mind, it's elevating me to a position that I do not deserve, because I'm on the same level as you. When I'm preaching to you, more often than not, I'm preaching to myself. And so I don't want to be elevated to such an extent that people are looking at it and saying, "Oh, that's the pastor," because they already do that enough as it is. That's why when I come to your place, the pastor has to bless the food. You realize what I'm saying? Why is it that you look at it that the pastor has to pray for things? The godly office of the pastor is to shepherd you, to train you to do the things of God. So that's what I'm here for. I'm not here to pray for you. Kind of goes against what we've always thought. But the pastor's job is to edify you, to build you up, to do the works of the service of the ministry. So my job is not praying for you, even though I still do it, because as a Christian, I believe I need to. But my position as pastor doesn't make me closer to God. It doesn't mean I have more of the Spirit on me. It means that I get the opportunity to stand up here and tell you my beliefs. That's really all it is. You all have beliefs, but if we had everyone up here right now, you know what the cacophony that we would have, and how would we understand what was being taught if every one of us was up here telling what we believed at the same time? So that's the quote-unquote privilege of being a pastor. Some people believe that drinking of wine is a sin. There's others that don't. Now, the Bible is not clear on this in a lot of aspects. It is clear on the fact that you don't get drunk, but it's not clear in regards to the drinking of wine. There is books written, many books written, on how come Jesus changed the water into wine and what type of wine was it. Who cares? It was a huge thing. He didn't have a mix that he stuck in the water and it changed the format of that water, right? Who cares what it was made of? All I do know is that when he made it, it was the best wine the guys had ever tasted. I don't know if it had alcohol in it. I would say, according to the traditions of that day, it probably did. But that's just opinion. I can't express that as a belief. It's an opinion. However, what we are to recognize is that there will be differences of opinions. There will be differences of beliefs. And according to the scriptures, what we are supposed to remember is that if you serve Christ with the attitude of living together in unity and edifying one another, then you are doing right. Now, it's not wrong to discuss your beliefs, because how many here know it all about God? Please raise your hand. How many here believe that the Bible is a living and active Word of God that will change what you believe? It doesn't change itself, but it changes how you look at things of God. Definitely, it does. So that means that if someone comes up to the front here and discusses something that is against your opinion, could it be that you might not have studied it enough? Or that the Holy Spirit didn't enlighten you in that aspect. Now, there are chances that the person who stands up here is speaking falsely. How are you going to know? By studying the Word and getting it into yourself and saying, okay, Lord, I need revelation on this aspect right now. That's why I do not agree with having devotions where you just read through the scriptures and that's it. I believe in taking it piece by piece, maybe even to the extent of what the person is speaking up here and taking it home, and that's what you study that week. Why? Because it helps you to prove what was spoken up here. Because you cannot go to heaven, and when God asks you what you believe, you can't say, well, Pastor Corey said. Because then it's what Pastor Corey believed, not what you believed. So you need to be studying these things. Now, there are some things, even when I have something that you agree with, you still need to take it home and say, okay, God, enlighten me on this, because did Pastor Corey preach it right? And you might have a difference of opinion on that, and that's when I say to you, come and discuss it with me. And that doesn't happen very often. It does happen, and I loved having those discussions. Typically, I'm firm in my beliefs. Not always. There have been times when I've backed down and I don't get mean. I discuss. Sometimes it's intense discussion. Right, Jules? We've had some. We love talking with these. Chris and Gordon, we have all had wonderful discussions. And sometimes we even walk away knowing that we disagree. Is that wrong? No. It's not wrong. However, we need to be open. Am I going ahead of myself? I don't know either. I can't tell. I drop pages and I can't remember where I'm at. There's one thing that Paul says in Romans chapter 14 that really struck me hard. And it's this. In verse 5, this is the King James Version. Let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Now think on that. This is where the question of do you really believe that what you believe is really real comes into play. Because you have to be persuaded in your own heart that what you believe is really real. So don't go to someone and pray for them to be healed unless you fully are persuaded in your heart that that healing is for them. However, don't go to them and all of a sudden think, well, I think God heals, and pray for them in the wrong way. Be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we're supposed to reenact Christ on this world. That's really what being a Christian is. Reenacting Christ. What did Christ do? He preached the gospel, healed the sick, cast out demons, and destroyed the works of the devil. In fact, the Bible says that that was his purpose, was to destroy the works of the devil. And how did he do that? He did that through the cross. And in Isaiah chapter 53, I think it's in verse 10, it says that the sacrifice that Jesus made pleased the Father. So that would tell me that he actually accomplished what he went to do. And that was destroying the works of the devil. Now you look around and you see that the devil is still at work. Why is that? Because not everyone believes that Jesus Christ destroyed it. Do you see the correlation? So we need to persuade ourselves within our hearts. What did Jesus do on that cross? What do we really believe? You cannot take my beliefs and make them your own. I cannot take your beliefs and make them my own. I can't even take the beliefs of the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies and make it my own unless I study into it. I used to do this. It was Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, growing up in it. I was indoctrinated, if you want to put it that way, but it's true. Growing up in it every Sunday, twice on Sunday, once during the middle of the week, going to services and being told what I believe. It wasn't until I started to study it that it became my own. When I started to look into it. But even in that, there are some aspects of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada that I have changed my belief system in. It doesn't necessarily go against what they believe, but there's a difference of opinion there. Same thing with the Assemblies of God. Same thing with the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. It's quite interesting because if you actually look at the statement of beliefs, there is a lot of generalities there that it leaves into interpretation for each church. So when we get together into conventions like we did a couple weeks ago, you can have some quite interesting discussions. There are certain things that are your sacred cows, if you want to call it that, that no one will touch. But there's other ones that you have some quite interesting discussions about. But that's because it's the generalities of the belief system, which is fine as long as we are established and fully persuaded in our beliefs. We need to determine, first of all, what we believe, and then we need to determine if we really believe that what we believe is really real. But in it all, we need to be ready to change our beliefs. So what happens when a light comes on, a new light comes on in your Bible study? Whoa, I haven't seen it like that. You know, a couple weeks ago, or I think it's a couple weeks now, that we had Annelies van Rensburg from South Africa here. I tell you, if you want to see someone who spends time in the Word of God, that's one. She is studying continually all the time in her Word. In fact, people look at her and say, will you just stop and visit? Because she's in her Word. And continually, at night, she can't sleep. What does she do? She puts on preaching tapes. She reads the Word. And yet she came here and on the one day she said, you know what? I was reading and I saw something that I never saw before. Yet she's in the Word all the time. So what happens when the new light comes on? We all believe that the Word of God is active. We all know that a lot of times when we look at Scriptures, we see it in a different way. And in so doing, we become changed if we're open to that change. We need to believe what we believe, but we also have to be ready for God to take those beliefs and tweak them just a little. Tweak them just a little, because not every belief you have is perfect. Not every belief that I have is perfect. Our pastor in West Virginia would always say, it'll be really amazing when we get to heaven and we know more things than we do now, and we'll look back and say, really? That's what I was preaching before? Because in all reality, our beliefs are not perfect. We have one belief that should be perfect. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins and a whole lot more, but for the forgiveness of our sins so that we will have eternal life. But that's not the fullness of the gospel. That's the entrance to the gospel. I'm still continuing on a study. Our next series, which will probably be coming up in September, so you can see how far I'm working ahead right now. But in September, more than likely, we're going to be doing a study on John, and one of the scriptures that has always intrigued me, not confounded me, but intrigued me, is in John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says to them, he says, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I understand that, because it's the entrance to the kingdom of heaven. But then he says, but those of you, unless you are born of the Spirit and of water, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. What's the difference? Oh, you're going to have to wait till September or later to find out and study it. Find out. Say, what is it that God is saying here? Because there is difference of words. And there are beliefs within the Christian realm as to what that might mean. But is it true? So that's what I'm going through. I've been working on that problem for 4 years. And I'm hoping that come September, October, that I will have an answer for you. Because when I get to that, I'm wanting to come at it with what it means to either enter the kingdom or see the kingdom. We need to be open for these things. Looking into Scripture and seeing what is he really saying. Even a lot of those catchphrases that we have that we use in our own belief system or in our talk or conversations with other Christians, what does the Bible really say about that? Because sometimes you go into it and all of a sudden you're looking at it going, okay, what is that really meaning in the context of what it's saying? Like the one that we just saw that says that the kingdom of God is not about what you eat or drink, but it is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Or some order of that. It also is in this passage where it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Talking about eating. It's our belief system. But well, those are things that we always use. We'd like to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What is the context? First thing, submit to God. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Like there's just so much that we need to start looking at as to, okay, I believe this, but what do I really believe about it? When God says he heals, does that mean he heals sometimes, all the time, or never? Because there are people in every one of those boats. When we look at what Pastor Robert was talking about during the Sunday school today about tithing, what do you believe in it? It doesn't matter about the action if you're not doing it in the proper way. It's about the heart. The heart will tell you. And God is the one that knows the heart. He knows what you really believe in regards to all those things. So because of the merge, I've decided we're going to go through the Statement of Common Beliefs for the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. If you want a copy of it, I can print it off for you. It might be on the board out there. I can't remember if it is or not. But we will be going through that entire thing, and it might take a while. It might not. Depends on how the Lord leads. I haven't gone through the entire thing to plan out every one. It looks like it'll take me most of the summer to get through it. So some of you, you might hear the occasional sermon, because I know how empty this place gets during the summers. Well, now I don't because there's a lot more people, but we'll see how it goes. And we'll go through this statement of common beliefs and find out what is it that we believe as a church and how does it relate to us as individuals. I believe that this will accomplish a couple of things. First of all, it allows everyone the opportunity to find out more about what Family Worship Center is and what the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies is. Secondly, I think it will remind us of the beliefs that we are to follow. I'm not going to read the entire statement of common beliefs right now, but I do want to read the last statement, the number 8 of our common beliefs. We believe in the spiritual unity of believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. And unity is a hard thing, because I've heard it said, how can you be unified with someone that believes differently? Well, that just depends on where you want to, what hill you want to die on, if you want to put it that way. The thing about community, let me talk about unity first. It's what we are striving for in the church, unity. And that doesn't mean that all the churches come together and worship here. Yes, that is what has happened in two instances in just recent past here, but that's not what we are talking about. It's unity in our town, unity with all believers regardless of the differences of opinion. Whenever we get the opportunity, we need to promote edification, we need to promote unity, and do not dwell on the differences of opinion. Express them. Try to teach what you believe. Discuss it, but don't dwell on it. If it comes to that point where you say, I don't agree, then agree to disagree. It is all right to do that. We are to be one church under one God. We are a part of the community of Manning Family Worship Center. That's why we are gathered here today on a Sunday. And community is made up of two words, common, unity. So what do we have in common? We need to find that common unity in the midst of our differences. And that is how we can show Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yes, there's a lot of aspects to that cross of Christ that we have talked about in the past. And we will be continuing to talk about it as we go through this series. But what is it that is common that brings us together? And that's where we get into this sermon series on what do we believe. I have one final scripture for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all. Let us pray.